WRKEY today.
Stocks take a dive today on Wall Street. And speaking of Wall Street, it is passed. The Senate has come up with their version of reform. We have the details just a day after it looked like there was an impasse for at least 24 hours. Hey, the leak might be plugged or could at least stop spewing all of the nasty chocolate syrupy oil that is coming out of it now in the Gulf of Mexico by next week. So what was the solution? We're going to tell you. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show, coast to coast, everywhere in between, left, right, or those gray areas. We don't care. It's about water cooler conversation, and you're invited. Your 2 cents valuable here on ATN, 800-259-5791. Other talk shows shut you out. We invite all of you to come and make a difference and talk about what's happening across this great nation. So the stocks were a big story. The leak is a big story. We know this. It's been a big story for a month and a half. The fact that it could be plugged up by next week is ginormous. That is really a word. It's in the dictionary if you look it up. And there are a few other things happening. Like on the Hill today, Felipe Calderon, the president of Mexico, decided to take his message to the lawmakers, and they like what Calderon had to say about Arizona's immigration law.
I strongly disagree with the recently adopted law in Arizona. It is a law that not only ignores a reality that cannot be erased by decree, but also introduces a terrible idea using racial profiling as a basis for law enforcement.
All right, so I still don't understand it when we talk about the law in Arizona, the 17 pages that not too many on the Hill have read. So some are disputing, look, when we talk about this law, do we really understand what the law in Arizona is? So some of that reaction coming up in a few here in the hour on ATN. But before we get to that, the Senate passing the Wall Street reform was huge. Because it's been talked about now for a while, the better part of a year, the same thing along with health care reform. So this is has to be, in what I've been dissecting, it has to be the most sweeping stuff that I've seen, sweeping regulatory overhaul of our financial system since the New Deal. And how many of us were around for the New Deal? I venture to say there are plenty that weren't around. The actual number, 59 to 39, what it will do, according to the way it's written and what I can see, is we're talking about more oversight. We're talking about these capital cushions for big banks and Wall Street firms while stopping bailouts. And then looking at some of the complex and hard-to-understand financial products that got us into trouble in the first place, and also looking at consumer protection. My concern is on the consumer protection side and also what happens to the little guy and how many other businesses will be hurt by the way this bill has been written. This Senate passage is the last big hurdle for this whole year in the making. So now it's going to be reconciled with the House version since they passed it, as you know. They'll iron out whatever those differences are. That's what you do when you finally get to this point. And then they vote again and send the compromise bill to the president's desk sometime before July 4th. You know that he's certainly going to sign this because this is what he was pushing for, saying that Wall Street reform is going to bring better security to the people on Main Street. It was the whole idea of Wall Street and Main Street getting together. But what does it actually mean? As I said, I've been breaking down this bill, and we've been talking about it for a very long time with a lot of financial folks here on these airwaves. Well, since January of last year, financial services firms have spent I guess, in the neighborhood of 600 million or so. Just say some incredibly high number. And there have been tons of lobbyists that are pushing to get the conversation to go in their direction. I don't think that there are going to be a lot of people in Wall Street that are overwhelmingly happy with more regulation and government in their way. The legislation that I mentioned on the consumer side establishes this consumer financial protection regulatory agency that would or could write some new rules to protect, theoretically, the consumers, you and me, from unfair or abusive mortgages and credit cards. My concern is where the fees get passed on. So if they're writing these new rules, I hope the people who write them take this into consideration when they're doing it. Also, there would be new procedures for shutting down the big financial firms that collapse instead of what happened before. The dreaded three letters, AIG. Hey, we're screwed. You don't bail us out. Everybody sinks. You're forcing our hand. Remember the big votes on, okay, we got to give them the money, but then we're not going to ask them what they're doing with the money. So those days at least would be over. But my objection is that some of the biggest provisions, including this consumer agency, because of what I think ultimately how the fees will be passed on, and what are these new rules for the so-called derivatives, how heavy-handed will it all be to hurt some of the smaller banks and firms that a lot of us count on. A lot of us go to local banks, and a lot of us actually, depending on some of the stuff that you might have in your 401k or whatever, this will hurt you. Some of this bill would actually hurt you. There's going to be more bureaucracy. So I don't like bureaucracy. It's never served me well. It hasn't. I'm all about, I said this before, bring on the Tom Jeffersons of the world. I'm all about the smaller government. Doesn't mean you can't have some federal government interaction, but it seems like lately we're getting a little bit too much of it. And the problem stems back to the stupidness of bailing out the banks in the first place instead of letting them fall on their faces, bailing them out and then not asking when they were getting the money back and what specifically the money was tied to was a huge problem. But that's gone. That's years past, light years gone. And now this ultimately, how this shakes out, just like healthcare reform, we'll see where it goes. Because there still are some fine points in this. Even some Democrats thought that the bill wasn't aggressive enough against Wall Street. They thought it was too in between, trying to help a little bit of everybody and making it too loosey-goosey in the fact that it's not going to actually do anything to the Wall Street guys, but it's going to instead turn on the other people. So we'll see when they figure out some of the controversial elements of this. And what's next is the Senate appoints 12 members, 7 Democrats and 5 Republicans, to negotiate with the House, like I said, over the differences. They have to reconcile them, put it together, and then they do that whole vote thing. There was also a move to exempt auto dealers from the proposed new consumer protection regulator. The House version has carved that out for auto dealers, but the Senate didn't get it. So that's where it would also hurt you in those car lots, too. You'd be surprised. Like I said, it's all about the finer points of a bill, the amendments, and then the talking back and forth and ultimately what it looks like in the end. Coming up on the flip side, we got odds and ends.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
AirandAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirandAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirandAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirandAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirandAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirandAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirandAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
So Congressman Ed Markey, who's part of this subcommittee on the Hill investigating the BP oil spill disaster, says, I think we're beginning to understand that we can't trust BP. People don't trust the experts any longer. They've lost all credibility. And part of the reason is now you see this live feed. Today, in the background, when I was sitting at a desk, I flipped on the live feed. They have this live feed, and it is pretty horrifying as you see all of that black oil. That's what it is. It's like a plume of a black cloud of this oil that's just being pumped out of there. I mean, it is flying out of that leak. And then you had a day ago the president of BP, Lamar McKay, say that the figure used by the oil spill response team had a little bit of uncertainty built into it. Uncertainty. They were saying 5,000 barrels a day. Now, a lot of experts who have been able to see that video say, are you kidding? That could be 20,000 to 100,000 a day. Talk about your low estimates. They were totally fooling everybody because it was nowhere close to 5,000. It was way more than 5,000 a day. So how much oil has been spilled? Yikes. But you want to hear some good news? Here's the good news. If you do trust what BP is saying now, they're saying at this point that the gush of oil that is pouring out could be shut off the valve as early as next week. Oh, thank goodness. I can go snorkeling in Tampa. They're going to pump fluids into the well this weekend in the beginning of that process, that whole top kill thing. If successful, and they feel pretty confident, it could lead ultimately to the leak finally being closed off in just a couple of days. And if it doesn't work, they've already got some backups, some what they feel like is solid backups, a second and a third option too. It's funny because once the experts that weren't connected to BP, like I mentioned, saw the live video, they started to try to figure out how much oil was being pumped out of there. Then BP said, well, yeah, it's a little bigger than we thought. Because everybody wanted to see the video, so this cloud gave it away. But like I said, hey, you want the good news? The good news is, let's hope the top kill thing works. And they feel pretty confident about it. That if that works, then forget all these other junk shots and vacuuming it up, courtesy of Kevin Costner and other people who came up with some ideas. I mean, it's all great, but if they can do it that way, excellent. Kill it, cut it off, it's done. And at this point, the Coast Guard announced the creation of a federal flow rate technical group. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to assess the actual flow rate from the well. Because nobody knows for sure. You just have these guesstimates, but we know they're way too low. And you have to know that because you have to know where it's spreading and how much of it is going to spread that's already out there that's mixed in and you can't really get out. And it's certainly higher than was originally thought. And look, it's got to be all cards on the table. I think if I'm BP, you just might as well be transparent. They should have just released that video in the beginning. It's bad. We're sorry. We're working on it. Geez, you want to help? Here's the number. Some of you fishermen, which they have helped, come out. We'll put you to work. Boom. Here's the video. This is what we're looking at. We're trying to figure it all out. And this spill happened all the way back in April 20th. The Deepwater Horizon, for 7 years, best safety record you can imagine, then sinks to the bottom of the ocean floor. Oh, crazy. And then it became a question of the pointing fingers. Whose fault was it? Transocean? Another contractor? Hey, it's not us. And we'll see ultimately the damage that's done to the coastal marshes, especially in southeastern Louisiana. You got that syrupy, chocolate-like looking oil that's past the protective booms now and into the wetlands, pretty much near the mouth of the Mississippi River, sadly. But as soon as they can close this baby up, the better. Doesn't forget about the past that's being worked on. Just close it up. Get it done. Get her done. And go forward from there. So that, like I said, that is the good news, bad news scenario. Hey, we didn't know how much was being dumped out there. Now we're all seeing it. And we're going to try to get an accurate account of what it is. But in the meantime, maybe some of the life, some of the birds, some of the creatures who are in the wetlands don't have to be completely destroyed and find their nests and all that stuff ripped apart by this oil crisis. And perhaps, like I mentioned, Florida will be saved. Too late to save the day as far as the stocks are concerned. You know, it's like gambling. You are standing at the craps table, and any broker who doesn't tell you that, they're not telling you the whole truth, and you are throwing the dice down the table. But, you know, it's those 401ks, and it's the basket of stocks that grow, that are part of the retirement process, if you're lucky enough, because some of the pensions just aren't what they were, right? So stocks were pummeled. The Dow, NASDAQ, S&P 500 lost enough to fall into what they call correction territory with a drop of more than 10% off of some of the highs. And it's always driven. The market is driven by fear, by what's happening. It's this European debt crisis stuff and the slump in the euro that's hurting global recovery. We see in Spain the high unemployment, and they're talking about strikes there. Greece continues to happen there. Still people protesting, lots of problems. So the Dow fell 376 points. You know, that's the biggest point loss, since February of 2009. Yeah, not good. The loss was bigger than that in the so-called flash crash earlier this month. That happened a couple of weeks ago, right? Where the market looked pretty rickety too. So it's like you keep asking yourself when you see this, has the economy really come out of the slump? Because we're watching the stock market and we're watching what's happening with the euro, And if you're sitting here listening, you're saying, oh, why is she talking about that? Let's get back to Calderon. Let's talk about the Arizona immigration law and how ridiculous it is. We will get back to that. But this is important because a lot of you have, like I said, probably baskets of stocks or, you know, something with the 401k. You know, when they have that open, I guess they call it open season. I don't know. There's different names for it where you go through and you pick stuff. And when the market's up, your money's growing. The little bit of money you're hanging on to is growing. So you don't want to hear things like that. You don't want to see that it's all crashing to the ground. That's the opposite of what you're hoping for because you need that do-re-mi for the retirement. So you can go and get a little tiny condo in Florida somewhere off the beach, which actually, I'm sorry, to me sounds pretty good. By the time I get there, the rest of you, some of you listening to me in your 20s and 30s and 40s, just forget it. There is the end of the rainbow. There won't be a condo to be had. And who knows what the financial landscape will look like by then. Coming up on America Tonight, we're also going to tell you about this story. How about Obama's top intelligence advisor taking a dive? Boy, a lot of resignations in this past week in D.C. So Dennis Blair said it's effective Friday. I mean, this guy, if you know anything about Blair's background, he's a retired four-star Navy admiral. And he's been in this position since January of last year. And that office, his office oversees about 17 federal agencies in the whole U.S. intelligence community, which would include the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, all that sort of stuff. And it's interesting the timing because his resignation is coming on the heels of 2 days after the Senate Intelligence Committee releases this report, right, that criticized, I mean, ripped the National Counterterrorism Center, which is Blair's baby, which is what he does, for failing to coordinate stuff like what happened on Christmas Day with Abdullah Muttalib, that airline bombing scare, not having anything there. And the center was formed after September 11th, and the idea was to coordinate all the efforts because that was part of the problem. Remember, the FBI didn't know what the CIA was doing, and somebody had information on this guy, but apparently there's some big holes in there, so Blair's like, forget it, I'm out of here. I'm not getting slammed for all this stuff. I'm boogieing, I'm gone. And he's the second guy to do that. Remember the guy who oversaw the oil drilling, the second in command in the Interior Department, he also bolted. Stay with us.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. That's DoobleyShoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
The GCN Radio Network. Providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTown. Gear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child when you were only starting to go to kindergarten.
Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across the country as we're swinging for the fences. How many times did we dissect the so-called liar loans on this program, talking about what was going on in our economy that tanked everything with those subprime bogus loans that were ridiculous, and how ultimately the housing economy was spiked artificially, to say the least, and some of the mainstream capital markets, all of them, were suckered in by originating some risky loans, a lot of risky loans that were aimed at, let's face it, illegal aliens that didn't have documents to prove what they were making, undocumented incomes. A lot of it was aimed at minorities, and it created this bubble, this artificial demand with very loose credit requirements. Anybody try to get a loan lately? Anybody go in for that mortgage? Well, this is financial reform day because the Senate did pass financial reform, sweeping stuff. I wonder ultimately how it plays out, like I said, once they get back with the House, pull some of the loose pieces together, and then it ends up on the president's desk by July. I have some serious reservations about a few things in that piece of legislation. Anyway, thrilled to welcome to America tonight someone who knows the mortgage industry inside and out, former mortgage executive Marion Anthony, ushered in from our viral green room right now. He operates the Anthony Realty Group in Carlsbad, California, one of my favorite places, surfs up. And he's the author of Short Sale Rush. Hey, Marion, thanks for coming on ATN.
Thank you.
First of all, let me get your take on financial reform. The Senate passes it today. They've got to tweak it, reconcile it with the House, but some of that will affect the mortgage industry.
I think what they're looking for is, and what I the feel I'm getting out of it, it's over-regulation. I mean, it looks like it comes from an honest attempt to try to correct things, but they're just making the problem worse. They need to let markets just play out the way they need to play out. And all these new regulations are actually a conflict of interest. A majority of them are. And I'll give you one example. The new MARS program, which is basically the Mortgage Assistance Relief Service, it takes the authority away from independent counsel as an attorney and forces the borrower to deal directly with the lender. How does that help? That's only adding to the monopoly.
Right. Right. So this more regulation is going to, in effect, we're going to have a hard time with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's tying your hands. I mean, I'll give you this real simple. I'm a Marine veteran, okay? When I left the Marine Corps, I had a very good sense of corporate America. You have a chain of command. When I saw this problem start to happen, and people like my parents who invested very conservatively with their retirement savings, and that money started to disappear, I went to my immediate chain of command. I went to my state assemblyman. I went to my congressman, and I was seeking answers. Daryl Issa's office actually helped point me in the right direction, and we started to grind it out. What's being done? Why isn't there a public disclosure going out to all these people that are facing default with their alternatives printed in paper from their local representative? Why is that not happening? So it just seems that, you know, it's a very simple fix. In the day and age of communication is very accessible. Emails, the internet. Why can we not share the information with people who are in default, their alternatives?
Yeah, and what? Tell us the alternatives. What are some of the alternatives?
Well, I'll give you an example. If you owe too much on your house today, a lot of people are just walking away.
Yes.
Okay, that contributes to the problem because for almost every mortgage out there that someone is no longer making a payment on, that's actually affecting someone else that's pension fund or retirement or 401k that bought into mortgage-backed securities. So it's like a shell game. It's like a gigantic shell game. You remember the old shell game, where's the peanut, under what shell?
Sure.
You got three big shells. One of them's the borrowers. The other one's the banks, and the other one's the actual beneficiaries, the people that invest into these mortgage-backed securities that are traded on Wall Street. And if we are borrowing our own money, essentially, I'm borrowing money on my mortgage that is funded from yours and other people's, teachers, firefighters, police officers, pension funds that are invested in these mortgages. Now, if my mortgage fund is $500,000 on my house and I can only make a payment that's adequate to the economic standard and everyone's lost jobs, everyone's bottom line's been affected, okay, and I look at my retirement account and it's been cut in half and the equity of my house has been cut in half, it's not very hard to determine who's been robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, it's obvious. Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. And now we're seeing, too, that some new scams even are going around in this kind of market. You talked about the whole walk-away thing and what happens there, but what are some of the other things that are going on?
There's tons of them. And, you know, it's kind of sad because for the longest while, we as people in the United States have a civic responsibility to protect one another from these type of frauds. And, you know, it's interesting because the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, you've seen a lot of these, you know, Carlton Sheets and Dean Gravazio, mm-hmm. How to Make Millions in Real Estate, and it's all a bunch of fluff. And, you know, these guys are trying to sell these, yeah, I call it fees for CDs. You buy their program for $1,200, $1,300, try to make money in real estate, and it's horrible. And because the industry has had such a negative stigma for such a long time, but no one really, you know, burned these guys out, you've now got an even bigger cloud of fraud and scams with, you know, Ponzi schemes for loan modifications. You've got all these phonies out there with their how to make money on foreclosed properties, which aren't worth a nickel. You got people on the media telling people, on advertising, telling people to walk away from their homes and how to do it,
right,
which is contributing to the problem.
Yeah.
We need to be more civically minded and figure out, you know, what's the best way to do it. So I wrote my book about Section 702, which is a very unique, very overlooked alternative for people that owe too much, which allows them to rent their house to a qualified buyer. Now, the qualified buyer has to pay fair market rent, which becomes dedicated to the note holder. So as a bank that is owed, say, $3,000 a month, and that person that bought the house can't no longer pay $3,000 a month, you're simply finding someone else that is willing to pay the bill that you can no longer pay. It's that simple.
Right.
And there's lots of people out there that want to do it.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people that would, because ultimately, right, they rent and then they can pick up the note eventually is what the deal is in some cases too, right? And they could just rent, theoretically, but they could also maybe also pick it up.
Absolutely. A lot of people, once they're in possession, okay, they're in possession of the property, they're watering the grass, they're paying the homeowners association dues, they're keeping the lights on, which protects the community from that whole downward spiral where the property just starts to get sucked the value right out of it, and you have that haunted house on the street that's vandalized, the lawn's dead, and it just drains the community of its value.
Yeah, no kidding. So you can make, and that's what you're telling us, you can make legitimate profits too with short sales and foreclosures.
Absolutely. You know, right now asset management is a big growing area for private equity. We're looking for more investors right now to get involved with the tapes, the buybacks. We can find out how many properties are going default from each lender by actually looking at the tapes. And that shows how many properties are default, what area we can pick the zip codes, opposed to the notice default numbers and the credit reporting agencies that are reporting 6 months to a year later than they were supposed to. And that way all these estimates that we're getting across the newswire saying, oh, it looks like the market's coming back, those numbers are old. They're like a year old. They're reporting on information that's a year old. And we're making decisions today, including the White House, on information that's stale.
I like the way you said that. You're right. Information that's stale.
Information. I wish I had 5 minutes with the president. I think I could open up his eyes and show him greener pastures. There's so much here that they're missing, and they're making an honest attempt at trying to correct the problem, but they're not really digesting the information correctly. They're taking it at face value. You have to second-guess everything. You have to validate everything in a market like this because it's just so treacherous.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I think we learned something here tonight. Marion, if somebody wants to pick up your book, how can they do that?
If you go to shortsalerush.com, we've got links to the book on Barnes & Noble, on Amazon. I've got a free chapter for download for absolutely free, and it talks about the history of lending money. My dad helped me write it. He's a Penn State professor, 3 PhDs. It's a great education on the history of where money lending came from and how it should be conducted with a mutual benefit to both parties.
Yeah, no kidding. Hopefully we're going to get to the point where we've got numbers that aren't stale. That's the key thing. Mary, it was a pleasure talking to you. We'll talk to you again on America Tonight.
Thank you so much, Kate. Have a good night.
All right. You too. Mary and Anthony, and as he said, Short Sale Rush, that's the name of his book, A How-To Guide for Non-Performing Assets, The Biggest Ponzi Scheme Revealed. And he's right. You know, this is what we were talking about, those liar loans and how it's killed us. And this is part of what's led to this crazy financial reform that I'm saying, similar to what he's saying. You have to look what's underneath the hood, and ultimately the language of this law, what it's going to, the damage that it's going to do, and the overregulation. As much as it's so, it was perfect. It was made to jump on because, man, the banks that were too big to fail was ridiculous. It was ridiculous that the line was out there. And once people were furious, including myself, once they were bailed out, you know, that's like the last thing we want to see. The last thing we want to do is bail out a big bank when we see that they're making these massive fat cat profits and then throwing it in our face with the huge bonuses. But what they've got out there now, I think the overregulation is going to lead to a lot of problems. All right, coming up on the flip side, we're going to change lanes here on America Tonight.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
In 1965, this is the sound. Come on, One more time. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come here, mama. And if you pay you to see. And your face is fine and clean.
All right, we're jumping around here on America tonight, but you know that's how we roll here, right? Because there's so much going on, and we want to talk about it. I started with Felipe Calderon and the fact that he got a standing ovation. I mean, standing ovation for comments about the Arizona immigration law and talking about it was akin to profiling. He didn't like the law. Well, you know how I feel about that, because I don't care what the Mexican president says in this regard. I do understand that we do have to have a good relationship with Mexico. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. And the commerce between the two is significant. But come on now, give me a break when he's telling his own people to avoid Arizona and they're just flocking to Arizona. Hey, if you're crawling under the wire to get out of this country because we don't have the opportunities for you and you want to go and grab the American dollars, geez, don't go to Arizona, even though 500,000 illegal aliens are already there. I mean, come on, give me a break. So he added to that, Calderon did, when he pushed Congress to reinstate a ban. This was really a big part of his message, because he did talk about the drug thing, and he talked about reinstating a ban on assault weapons to help cut cross-border gun smuggling, which is huge. And ultimately, he says, reduce drug gang violence for, you know, the southern neighbor and what's happening there. And this was in the joint session of Congress where he talked about fighting organized crime in Mexico. I think specifically we can roll that. Here's what Calderon said as far as banning the assault weapons. All right, trust me. He said Washington is aiding Mexico's battle against drug gangs with the pledge of $1.4 billion for equipment and police training to help fight the cartels that ship about $40 billion worth of illegal drugs north each year. So, again, the whole thing was wrapped up in an assault weapons ban and the push to not, not to reinstate the assault weapons ban and not turn a blind eye to it and saying that guns from Americans were feeding Mexican violence. So, I mean, there's a great question. How do you feel about that? Mexico seized about 75,000 guns and assault weapons in the last 3 years. 80% of them, this is what's being said, 80% are coming from the U.S., and there are about 7,000 gun shops along the border. Why do you think there's gun shops along the border? Does he realize what's happening and what a war zone it's become along the border? I mean, millions of people are crossing illegally to get work, and some of the people that are also crossing are selling the drugs and are running guns themselves, and, you know, that's part of the reason you're seeing these guns shops, I believe, crop up, because they know people are going to get guns that way. So it brings up the discussion on assault weapons and whether or not that ban is reinstated. And it does go back to the Second Amendment. And Calderon was very careful about this, saying that he respected Americans' Second Amendment right to bear arms, but that many of the guns are getting into the hands of the criminals. But see, this goes back to the very basic ideal of guns. If you completely take guns away, what do you think happens? What do you think happens if you eliminate guns? What happens in that black market? You think the criminals are not going to get the guns? You got to be kidding me. And you know that there are other people. There are plenty of arms dealers who are willing and able to sell guns, whether it's to Americans or Mexicans or whoever. They're only too happy for the right kind of cash to do that. So I think that in looking at the gun issue overall, sometimes that's what's missed. And the assault ban gets wrapped up into this whole thing. And that's why Calderon was quick to throw out the drug deal and then say that guns from America and from Americans are feeding into the Mexican violence. So here's what I get from Calderon. He was careful about how he phrased it. First, he gets a standing ovation for criticizing Arizona, one of our states, saying the law was crap, pretty much. I'm summarizing, he didn't use those words, but saying that it was racial profiling and he didn't like the law. Then he slams Americans for being gun toters, saying that that is what's feeding this Mexican violence. If we just didn't have those guns along the border, if we just shut down all those shops, and if we reinstated that ban, hey, we wouldn't have the problems that we're having in this country. So he did add this, saying we have to find a way together to face and fix the common problem. And he must have said this a couple of times. He repeated several times in his address to the joint sessions that he opposed the Arizona law that requires the cops to check immigration status of anyone they suspect is in the country illegally. But we go back to the same premise. I mean, look, it's posted all over the internet. Anyone right now, as you're listening to me, could read this. It's 17 pages. And that's not the way it reads to me. And I don't think anybody else that I know, I don't care what label they call themselves, liberal, Democrat, whatever. I've had other people look at it to just make sure I'm not reading this wrong. And it does not say that. It's not written that way. And in fact, that's why I defend Arizona, because this is already something that is out there. And trust me, there are other states, even if they won't admit it, that are taking a look at what's happening in Arizona. Hard to tell at this point because that law hasn't kicked in. It doesn't kick in until the end of July. So far, it's only been a lot of controversy that's been drilled in the direction of the state and not so much on the offensive side of it, just a little bit, but not as much as you would think. And I think Calderon was wrong to bring that up, first of all, not really slamming the Arizona law, but not really getting what the Arizona law is. And that's my biggest problem with anybody who looks at it. And if you've really read it, you cannot say, you cannot parrot what is being thrown around out there, because that's not how the law reads. It's not how it reads. And somehow that's getting lost in the sauce. So we bring it back around to Calderon and the assault weapons ban. And earlier we talked about the intelligence director, Dennis Blair, resigning because he's gotten a mountain of criticism for the lapses in what's happened with Abdullah Mutallab on Christmas, where he could have blown up the plane in Detroit. What's happened with Shahzad a little bit is going their way in Times Square. And so I think he just said, you know what, forget about it. I'm not going to be the guy who tries to pull this all together, because that is a massively tough job anyway. Airport securities, missing terrorists, whose fault is that? The TSA says, hey, it's not our fault, and what about these lists? And then you go back to the airlines, and there's even a new government report that says at least 16 known terrorists have passed through airports where the feds were trained to spot suspicious behavior. I love when they release these things. So the GAO, or Government Accountability Office, right, says that between May of 2004 and August of 2008, these officers who worked for the TSA made about 1,000 arrests, but none of them were for terrorism. They had these behavioral detection guys, and they were supposed to watch for certain signals, and they deployed about 1,000 of them at some of the more high-volume airports. But they can't really determine if the results were better than if passengers had been pulled aside randomly or not. So the guys who supposedly can detect suspicious behavior let at least 16 that we know of, because these 16 were later involved in terror plots and traveled several times through 8 airports where the monitoring program was in effect, and none of the 16 was ever stopped. Boy, that's chilling, isn't it? How are we ever going to stop these guys? John Lennon said it best, reality leaves a lot to the imagination.